Welcome to the CMS Faculty Development Talks podcast from the Office of Academic Learning Environment at Chicago Medical School. I am your host, Dr. Les Sun. I'm the Assistant Dean for Faculty Talent Enhancement, also known as Faculty Development. I'm excited to share with you this podcast where I talk with a colleague and other experts in a range of disciplines about teaching, learning, and faculty development in medical education. I have a wonderful speaker that's going to be giving us educational grand rounds in a short time, Carrie Roth Bayer, who is going to talk to us about a topic that I don't think we've had a lot of discussion about in the past, how to address LGBTQ issues. And so I'd like to first get started with, you're going to be coming for educational grand rounds. Give us an idea of what you're going to be talking about, what you're going to tell us about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you. Sexual orientations, gender identities, med school curricula, implicit bias, a lot of terms that we may have had some framing about, may be new, is changing. The language is changing. And so in this educational grand rounds, I look forward to starting out by deconstructing some of the layers and some of the terminology in these different spaces, and then shifting into some tips for faculty. So addressing sexual orientations and gender identities, thinking about it in the environment. So it might be that you have students who are coming out for the first time or going through transitions, maybe experiencing some health disparities or some discrimination, and maybe coming to you as faculty. So some tips in those areas, and also ways that you might be able to think about making your environment maybe more inclusive. Getting into curricular tools, so thinking about what do you currently cover in your curriculum? Where are you weaving in variations around sexual orientations and gender identities? Are you specifically talking about things like microaggressions or stigma or implicit bias? Are you talking about intersectionality, where it's not just sexual orientation and gender identity, but also maybe where race fits in, or where culture, where lived experience, faith traditions? So a lot of these aspects of the human experience that make up not only who we are as individuals and as faculty when we come into the teaching and the learning environment, but also those layers that our students bring with them and how that will then go on to impact their practice in caring for patients beyond the time that they're with us in medical school. And then maybe showing you some tools that you can use. So one of the misconceptions that oftentimes happens is that folks say, well, I can't take on this topic because I don't have content experts. And so in the educational grand rounds, my hope is to be able to give you some tips that may help for adjusting your curriculum. So chances are you've got some easy spaces that you could start to weave pieces in, and it just may be as easy as looking at how you write your exam questions. And so let's just, for an example, if you were gonna be covering smoking cessation, and we know that folks in the LGBTQ communities tend to have a higher rate of smoking, that might be an easy place for you to say, you know, in your case study, let's look at this 35-year-old lesbian who has a history of smoking, you know, a pack a week. So again, there can be little ways that show visibility and bring out these different populations, and therefore work toward more inclusive spaces without having, say, a set course that is, I now have to teach a course on one person's identity. Tools and resources, you probably have some resources in your backyard, and so hopefully we can have a conversation about that. I'm a pretty interactive person, so I may show you a video, so some clips and some tools that might be helpful in your teaching space. I also welcome an active dialogue of what's going on, because chances are you're doing some pretty great things, and I just get to come maybe shed a little bit of light and help you tweak and add. And you know, your students are always great and wonderful looking at what their student groups are. So for instance, I'm a faculty advisor for our alliance group at Morehouse School of Medicine, and that's been a great way for helping to increase visibility and be an advocate for students. So we can talk about those types of ideas as well. So I look forward to an interactive conversation at the Education Ground Rounds.
Well, tell us a little bit about kind of how you got here and kind of what you're doing now at your own institution.
Sure. So sexual health is where I live and breathe. I am taken back to about 30 years ago when I was working as a patient care technician in labor and delivery. And I was taking care of, and I think she was 11 or 12 at the time, who had just brought a new life into the world. And I remember that night when I went in to take care of her, thinking how she was going to struggle to take care of herself, let alone this new life, and that she's had a profound impact on the trajectory of my career. And when I first started out, I was looking more in terms of adolescent sexual health, but my undergrad in nursing led me to look at sexuality in all different aspects of health and across the life course. And as I moved on, I got to see how health professionals are in such key roles and key places to develop trust and to be with patients in some of the most vulnerable parts and times of their lives. And that's really where my career has shifted. And I've had for the last, 20 plus years been working in sexual health. I ended up getting my master's in adult education and my doctorate in human sexuality education. And so I bring this lens of my clinical background from working across the pediatric spectrum and some in the adult spectrum and the education lens. So I really think about, how do folks think and how can we help train health professionals to address patients and address sexuality with patients across the lifespan. And I've had the privilege of being able to do that at Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. We're a historically Black college and university medical school. We train folks who are really interested in primary care and in serving the underserved and working to address health disparities and advance health equity. And it's been fantastic to get to work with students. It's probably my favorite part of the job. Along the way, I also have gotten to work with organizations like the Association of American Medical Colleges on putting out curricula or competencies for curricula for caring for LGBTQ+ populations and those who also experience differences of sex development. And in that project, we got to release a number of clinical vignette videos and faculty development videos, and really thinking about that faculty member and the tools that they may need to have at their fingertips to help teach some of this content and maybe also reflect and think about their own thinking and how they're addressing these topics within the curriculum, but also within their own environment.
Boy, you've done a lot in your career. Tell us, why is it so important for us to understand this and put this into our curriculum and make sure we understand our students and patients and all that?
So it's a great question. And I always think that if you're going into the health professional space, you care about the people that you're working with and caring for. And part of that is knowing their varying layers of their human identity and human existence. And unfortunately, when it comes to talking about LGBTQ+ health, and I tend to frame that more in terms of sexual orientations and gender identities, just because there's been such a boom in those spaces and more awareness and new identity layers happening. It's important because sometimes folks will show up and in your practice space, or your students will show up and their sexual orientation is their number one piece of their identity that they care about. And you may or may not be able to assess that or help them with that. And in other times, it may not be as front and center. And so oftentimes in that space, sometimes there's a stigma that's associated, or immediately when you hear the acronym, I call it the identity soup, because it's continued to get longer and longer in terms of those identities, is that we oftentimes want to put people in boxes. We want to attach a label to them without allowing them the space to tell you about what their identity is and how and who and what that means to them. And so that's really one of the important pieces if we are wanting to move anywhere in terms of creating trusting spaces, safe spaces, is having creating a space of trust and dialogue. And that can start as easy as, "Hi, my name is Dr. Carrie Roth-Bayer, and I use the pronouns she, her, hers. What name would you like for me to call you? And what pronouns do you use?" And so sometimes people get really caught up in language or concepts, and yet they don't realize that if we can make these minor changes, it goes a long way for honoring who our patients are, who our students are, even who our colleagues are. Not all aspects of our human identity are easily worn on our skin or on our sleeve. We may see a pin. So somebody may wear a rainbow pin. It might be an indication that they have some sort of connection to the LGBTQ plus communities, but we don't know. So getting in a place where we're comfortable to be able to talk and ask goes a long way for better education as well as for better patient care.
Well, and I think we all have a lot to learn about this topic. And so I'm looking forward to hearing your talk. Anything else that you want to tell us about as kind of like a little teaser to what you're going to talk about or what we can get out of that? Because it's sounding like there's a lot of value in attending this.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, come open-minded, prepared to reflect and learn. I would say that, you know, I've been doing this work for a really long time and I still learn. In fact, one of my students just shared a piece with me and the other day, and it goes through, you know, interracial couples and their varying levels of chosen identity. And I still continue to learn. I have a 14-year-old, and just being a parent and hearing young folks and serving on an advisory board for youth is that, you know, the younger folks, especially here now in COVID and in this digital age, are able to connect a lot easier than they were in the past. We're seeing support systems happening for some at younger and younger ages. And for others, depending upon where they're coming from in their culture or their geography, you know, college or the medical school environment may be the first time that they are coming out. And so my hope is that folks will attend to not only get tips for themselves in the work environment, but, you know, it may also help in your home environment too. Chances are that you have friends, family, maybe encountering folks in your daily life who identify within these populations. It may be you're identifying within these populations as well. And so always an opportunity to have great dialogue, to learn. And what I care most about in education is that you get to walk away with something that you can apply in practice.
And having that is always important, to bring something home, bring something back, bring, you know, your knowledge to a different level. So I'm really looking forward to your presentation. And just to let everyone know, the Zoom presentation is scheduled for Wednesday, October 14th, 12 noon Central Time. Please join us for Dr. Bayer to present to us and enlighten us about this topic. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CMS Faculty Development Talks podcast, brought to you by the Office of Academic Learning Environment at Chicago Medical School. For additional podcasts, educational lectures, learning modules, opportunities for continuing medical education credit, CME, and more, please Google CMS Faculty Development and learn more about what we have to offer.